Today's daf in the Sechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Pei Tet, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on the bottom of Pei Chet Omud Beit. Now, the next piece that we have not as yet discussed is what appears to be a very strange pasuk in the whole Parsha of Nedarim. We sort of left this, and we finally get to it, because we've had all of the dinim of the Baal and the Isha, the father and the daughter and the Nara Hamuras. So the one thing we haven't discussed is the pasuk that says, "V'neder almanahu grusha kol asher asra al nafsha yakum aleha." That if she made this neder when she was divorced or she was widowed, so then the neder will be mekuyam. I mean, like, obviously, if she doesn't have a husband, so then how in the world would she possibly get a hafara? Her husband died, or her husband divorced her, and are we talking about an almanah grusha who does have an av? Well, then what would that mean? That she was chozer lo shasav, so then she's not, then she's included in the other parsha. What exactly is this coming to add, this pasuk? Because basically it's describing a woman who is able to make Nedarim, but that's obvious, because if she couldn't make Nedarim, then there wouldn't have been the whole parsha of the dinim of afara of a father or a baal. So what is it saying? Says the Mishnah, what it's saying is a chiddush, that neder amana ugrusha yakuma leha ketzad. Where would there be a chiddush in such a case? Well, the chiddush would obviously be in a case where her status changed between the saying of the neder and the chalot of the neder. So let's imagine a case like this. Amra hareini nizira la'achar shloshim yom. So she makes a neder. She has no baal. She has no, either because she never had a baal. Obviously, when it says she's divorced or widowed, it doesn't mean she's necessarily divorced or widowed. It obviously also means there's no one there in her life that could be mefer. So, I mean, what's the chiddush? The chiddush must be that what she said was, minus zirut should take place 30 days from now. And within those 30 days, she went ahead and she got married. So, afal pi, shenis'eit betok shloshim yom, eno yechol la'afer. So, what the pasuk is coming to tell me is that if the neder of the almanah v'grusha, if when she made that neder, she was an almanah or a grusha, or was in a state where she had no husband, that she never got married in the first place. The point is that even though, but the moment that the neder is chal, it's chal within the rishus of her new husband that she just found within those 30 days, the halacha is that there is no din of hafara. Then it's a chiddush, because you might think that you go according to when the neder actually was chal, and not according to when she made the neder. Therefore, it seems to be telling us, as the chiddush, the pasuk, that if she was a neder v'almana at the time that she made the neder, that makes it chal. So the neder of almana v'grusha yakum aleha, even though there is a husband at the moment that the neder would take place. The same thing would be true in the opposite situation. Let's say that she made the neder, and she was married at that point, and she said that it would be chal amra hareini nizira li'achar shloshim. And then during those 30 days, she was either divorced or she was widowed. If the baal had been made for that neder, even though at the time that the neder was due to be chal, he was no longer her husband, it doesn't matter. The hafara is on a neder that was made in his rishus. So in other words, that means in either direction, whether we're saying it's going to be a kula that will allow the husband to make the nafara, or whether it's a chumra, which is to say that even if she's married, her husband cannot do the nafara, nonetheless, it goes according to the zman that you make the neder. Fine. Now, the mice, we talked before about whether you can make a neder, a hafara on a neder before the neder was chal, so whether it was a tnai. So why over here are we saying that because it's going to be chal in shloshim yom, therefore you will not be able to be mayfair if at that point it's not, why can't we say bichlal, that this is dependent in the machlokas between the Chachamim and Reb Nosson that we had. I'm going to have it again. And there we have a clear-cut question about whether it helps to make a hafara like that, even if you are in the same rishus. But that's because, in that case, we are not even sure that the neder will ever be chal, because there was a tanai in the neder. We're going to discuss cases where, well, she's not going to be over on the tanai, whether you could be made for the neder before she was over in the tanai and made the neder chal. Mashenken over here, it's not dependent in anything at all. It's just a question of the Shloshim Yom passing. Once it passes, the neder will be chal, and therefore we don't have a question that theoretically he is able to be made for. The only question is, what is the status of their relationship at that time? Is it go according to when she makes the neder, or does it go according to when the neder is chal? Now, how about if on the same day, nadra bo bayom? So basically, what we're talking about over here is that she makes a neder on the same day that she had gotten married, and then she was nizgarsha on that same day, and then her original husband takes her back on the same day. Even so, eino yochol lahafer. Even though lemaisa, what happened is over here, the moment that she was married the first time, so then she goes ahead, she makes this neder, that gets her husband angry, he gives her a divorce, she goes now and remarries the same guy, all on one day. So that is, once the first nisuin was a nisuin, then she was already yotzei, of course, from her shus of a father, and there would be no way that you could be made for bekodmim, and therefore, if the Baal now tries to be made for, he's not going to be able to be made for. So that even though she made the neder while there was a Baal, and there is the same Baal when it's time for him to do the hafara, it's not a good hafara, because he is now a new Baal in the sense that he doesn't have rishus over kodmim. And it also is talking about the case where the father was there at the beginning of the day, and therefore he, you would have thought on the same day, maybe he could be made for, no, even though at the beginning of the day, when she was only in Arusa, he had the right to be made for the neder. Once she goes to the Nisuin, it makes no difference, and he cannot join up in a case where there is a mitoma b'chaya av, he cannot join up with an oris to be made for b'kodmin either. So the in this case, the Baal, actually, the Mefarshim explained, we're talking about that he heard about the neder only after he married her the second time. But that's because, remember we had a shaila before? Is a gerushin considered to be a hakoma? Because he knows perfectly well that if he's a begarish, he's not going to be able to be made for. And therefore, what he's saying is, let her stew. She wants to make the dorim, let her stew. So if he had heard about it already, which is the way that I explained it initially, the pashtus, he had heard about it already, and he divorced her because he's angry about the neder, that's not so pashut. Because that would be dependent on the machlokas that we had before. Is a gerish in hakoma. Therefore, it's understood better that she made the neder, she got divorced, he heard about the neder only when he remarried her, and therefore we don't get into the problem of whether the gerish in itself is considered to be a kiyum. So now we have this clarity in the Mishnah that everything...
Why can't he nullify then? She wasn't his... She's now a new wife, but she had a neder through that day. He's her husband. Let him cancel it.
Because it's called kaitmin. What's the difference with the same day?
Okay.
Yeah, the day doesn't define kodmim. Okay, so now what we're learning in the Mishnah is it all goes according to the actual Shas HaNeder. It turns out that doesn't seem to be so obvious to everyone, because Tanya, look at this price. Amana ugrusha she'amra hareini nizira lichi she'enase. So when I go ahead and get married, whatever point that is, at that point, I want to become a Nazira. And sure enough, she goes ahead and she's Nisait. Seems to be the same case as the Mishnah. So at the time that she made the neder, there was no husband. at the time that the neder is chal, by definition, it will be a husband. Because the neder is only chal when she finds a husband. So Rabbi Shmuel Eimer Yafer, that actually he can be made for the neder, because apparently Rabbi Shmuel holds that we look at the time of the chalota neder and not at the time of the asiyas neder, which is the exact opposite of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says everything goes according to what her state was at the time that she made the neder. Rabbi Akiva Eimer, Masha Einkein, in this case, it's only Rabbi Akiva who says, Lo Yafer, because according to Rabbi Akiva, when did she make the neder? Without her being a nesua, she was a grusha, she was an almana, and of course, she had never been married, is the same thing. In all of those cases, there's no way that if at the time she made the neder, she wasn't under his rishus, even though when the neder is chal, it doesn't make any difference if he's there or not. The Gemara gives a siman over here of Yalali, which is basically Yafer, Lo Yafer, Lo Yafer, Yafer, which is the order of the Mishnah, but it's rather obvious. Now, in the opposite case, right? Suppose she's an Eshet Ish, and she says, when I get divorced, then I should be a Nazira. And then she gets divorced. So in this case, Rabbi Shmuel says, Lo Yafer. And Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yafer. Why? Because at the time that the neder was made, she was an Eshet Ish. So therefore, even though the neder has not yet been chal, he can still be made for. Masha Inkein, according to Rabbi Yishmael, if it goes into effect only at the time that she's a gerusha, so then we look at when the neder goes into effect. So this seems to be directly nogea the case in the Mishnah, right? Rabbi Akiva is saying what the Mishnah says. It goes according to when she makes the neder. And Rabbi Yishmael is saying, no, it goes into effect. That's what defines when you can make the neder. The hafara. Om Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Shmuel says, well, how do you read the Pasuk? It seems to me very clear that the Pasuk is saying what I'm saying. Harehu Omer, v'neder almana ugrusha. What does that mean? That means that you have the right to be mefer unless the neder is actually chal b'shat amanut v'gerushin. So therefore, it goes according to the time of the chalot. And if she's married now, but the time of the chalota neder is when she is a grusha or an almana, there'd be no way to be made for it. So you see, it goes according to when it is effectual. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, just the opposite. Look at the rest of that pasuk. Kol asher asra al nafsha. So when you read the neder almana v'grusha, it means when she made the neder, asra al nafsha, when she made that isra al nafsha, that's the point. So ache isure neder. So he can go ahead and be mefer unless she actually made the isra of the neder. That means she was medaberet the neder at that point, during the time that she was a grusha or an almana or not married at all. Remember, we're using the word almana or grusha just as a code word for talking about a woman that has no rishus over her to be mefer. Okay, so then it seems pretty clear that the only way to understand the Mishnah is that it's going aliba to Rabbi Akiva. Because the Mishnah says very clearly that everything is defined by when she makes asra al nafsha. When did she make that neder? And over here, Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. And Rabbi Shmuel says, no. It's all a function of when the neder goes into effect. So, let's bite the bullet and agree with Rav Chisda. Omer Rav Chisda, the Masnisin, only works out aliba de Rabbi Akiva. Abayas says, you are overlooking a very important point. It could go perfectly well according to Rabbi Yishmael. Did you notice that the case in Rabbi Yishmael is very different from the case in the Mishnah? The case in the Mishnah, which provides 30 days for the chalot of the neder, does not indicate in any way that her neder has anything to do with her status of marriage. It was just a neder. It was made in 30 days. It's going to go into effect in 30 days. And she happens to meet this guy and marries him within those 30 days. Where did Rabbi Yishmael ever say in a case like that, that he disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. The point over here is that specifically the case in the Braita made it dependent on her marital status. Therefore, Masnis, the Mishnah, which is talking about where she was Talia Nafsha Biyumi. And the Braita, you'll notice, is where she was Talia Nafsha Binisuin. So now let's take a look at the way that the Mishnah works out. In the case of the Mishnah, Talia Nafsha Biyumi, and therefore Shalma Yumi Velonit Garsha, I mean, you can't tell me that in some way the netter should be dependent on her marital status. I mean, it's certainly possible that she's not going to get a get, right? Or she's not going to get married in those 30 days. I mean, what makes you think that anything is going to change? Shomu yomi velomin nasva. So in such a case, what are we concerned with? The 30 days? Fine. Where do we see that Rabbi Yishmael makes any kind of diak in the posik that it should go bedavka according to the time when the netter is chal? But in a case where she says that the chalos of the netter is dependent on her having a marriage or on her not having a marriage, so since she wants the netter to be totally on whether she is an amana or grusha, so in achinami, we understand the netter to be directly nogea, the state of the amana or grusha. So Rabbi Yishmael would agree that in the case of the Mishnah, where she never mentions anything about being an amana or grusha, and it's certainly theoretically just as likely or more likely that she's going to be exactly what she is at the zman of the chalos of the netter, at that point, I agree with Rabbi Akiva. Why should I say that it's the netters going into effect that would be an issue? It has to do with Asra al Nafsha. There I would agree. Okay, so in which case, we don't have to make any kind of machlokas. What's interesting is that at the end of the Mishnah, so we have a klal. Ze haklal. What's the klal? Kol shiyatz'ah. If at any moment she went into her own rishus, then there is no way for her new husband to be mefer because ain't about mefer bekodme. Now that's a very interesting zaklal, because if you take a look at it in context, we had another zaklal that said exactly the opposite. And that was, of course, the zaklal when we were introducing the idea of the Nahar Murasa, that Aviyu Ba'ala Mefir in her neder. So over there we talked about what if she gets divorced and she gets a new aros, and she gets divorced, she gets a new aros. This was a very active girl, remember. At the end of the day, she's on aros number 99, or actually 100, okay? So it says over there, it's fine. Her father and the latest aros, if he can keep track of them, the father and the latest aros, yeah, I mean, it's straight out of Hollywood, is able to be made for the neder. And over there we said the same zaklal, but we said it in the exact opposite language. We said zaklal ko sheluyatza l'rishutat smasha achat hu va'ava aruz acharon the bala acharon mefir nedoreh. Right. So we never really defined what the klal is adding. And now it's time to think about that klal, because the klal has now shown up twice, and it's coming to tell me something in both cases that are not necessarily included in the simple case that we had. So could you tell me, please, what are these two klalim? So let's go back now to the original klal that we had in Perek Narahamu Urasa. So Zeha klal diktoni gabi Narahamu Urasa, that was back, oh, remember those old days, back at Dafayin Aleph, my goodness, when we finally get our Anki cards for Chazorah and Adorim, then we'll remember very clearly what's on Dafa. But so far, we've got a very lazy Anki maker here. We need an extra Anki maker. All right, so what would be the din over there? So when it says that Zeh HaKlal, that as long as she wasn't Yotze Lushus Atzma, Sha'achat, that then the father and the Baal, meaning the Orus, can still be made for the Neder, that's coming to say, even in the event that the father had gone together with her, were on the way to the chuppah, and the orus and the shluchim had come to take her to the chuppah, but daddy is reluctant to let go, you know. So he walks along. This is similar to the Medrash. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was reluctant to let go, you know. So at least take me along, make a little mishkan, similar to this story. It says, Marshal Ma'adavra Daimon. So over here, Daddy wants to go along with the Shluchim of the Baal, and he can't bear to see the wonderful little girl, sunrise, sunset. And there she goes, and she's about to get into this limousine. No, says he, I got to go along. Or he wants to send someone along with her. You know, his trusted friend should go along. Okay, so if Shluchei Av go with the Shluchei Baal, or the Av goes with the Shluchei, so that is basically telling me that even there, he's not considered to have let go, to lose his rights to be mefer together with the Arutz. So saying, Zaklal, as long as she wasn't Yotzel or Shut Atzma, totally, because the father, as Richie, is very deeply empathetic to, well, we can't certainly let the little girl go. I mean, there he is sitting there living with the little girl. Can you imagine? I mean, well, not all the time. He's in a lot right now. Right, okay. So it's difficult to let go. So in that case, the Mishnah is saying, even though theoretically they're already on the way to the chuppah, and she's in the limousine that the Oros have sent, but nonetheless, it's not considered to be Yotzer Shut Atzma. The Zeklah that we just had now, the Ktani Gabi Ve'elu Nidarim, so that's coming to tell me, even though the Nisuin has not yet taken place, but the point is that the father handed her over to the limousine and the driver, or that he had his shluchim hand her over to the shluchei habal, and once that's true, then eina ba'al mefer bekodmim, there's no way to involve the father anymore, and in this case, you're stuck, because as soon as he's an oros, he cannot be mefer bekodmim either. The only way to be mefer bekodmim, remember, is if she's still an arusa, and she's still brushus habal, av. Partially. And that brings us to Richie's new wonderful composition, which he's going to present to us. Go for it. That was a wonderful new composition, Rich. So now we want to talk about all of the possible ways in which a woman can be in a state where she is unable to have anyone that is going to be mefer for her. Now, the reason that we're doing this is because, for some reason, the way that the entire concept of the woman being on her own is discussed is in terms of this pasuk, neder almana ugrusha. Now, I mean, we obviously can't really mean almanak v'grusha. We're looking for a chiddush. That what's so special about these cases of almanak v'grusha? So we explained that it means that she's sort of in transition between states. But meanwhile, it forces us to consider in our minds, what is it that actually changes the status of the interdependency of a woman with father and or orus and or husband? So obviously divorce, almanut, changes that, but there are other things that change that, and we need to take them into consideration as well. If she becomes a bogeret, then her being a bogeret would be a transitional from the father's rishus into her own rishus, in the same way that gerishin is such a transition, in the same way that almanut is such a transition. So we have to take that into consideration. And how about the question of her losing her father? Now, she could lose her father physically. Her father could die. And that would mean that she is, by definition, transitioned into a state where there is no one who could be made for her nedarim. Now, there's also another way to lose her father, and that is legally. So that if she became an amana from the nisuin, or if she became a gerishin from the nisuin, then she would also have lost her father, even though, technically speaking, her father is alive, and she is still a Nahara that ought to be in the Rishus of the father, but she doesn't have a father. legally speaking. So that means there's really three completely different circumstances that will take her out of the Rishus of the father, and that we need to take into consideration when we're talking about this almana ugrusha, because that's not enough to define everything, is it? Because in the event that it hadn't been from Nisuin, the almana ugrusha, and she was still in the Rishus of the father because she's choseres, nisrokna Rishus la'av, in those cases, so then we'd have to say, is this one of those cases or not? Does she have a father? Does she legally have a father? Has she become a bogeret? So therefore, what the Mishnah does is it takes those three issues, the case of a bogeret, which means that b'chlal, it wouldn't matter whether her father is alive or not alive, the case of the actual yitoma, where the father is not alive, and then the most chiddush of the cases, which is that even though her father is alive and she is not a bogeret, that nonetheless her father is legally not alive, which is the case where she was already in the sua. And it shows us the way in which that will be part of our understanding of the extent of her transition from her father's rishus into her own rishus. So then that means we're really taking into consideration, besides the almana grusha, we're taking into consideration her status and the transitions from the time of the neder into bagrus, the transition from the time of the neder into the death of her father, the transition from the time of the neder into the legal death of her father in the event that she had been in su'a. Now, it's easy to do this just by pointing out that you need to take into consideration three additional issues. Is she a bogeret or not? Does she have a father in the event that she's not a bogeret? Does she, even if she has a father, does she have a legal father in terms of the dinim of Nedarim? And then you would know everything that you need to know. However, what the Mishnah does, and it's brought in Yerushalmi, that the reason that we're doing this is lechadeid et ha-talmidim. And that's why Reb Yehuda makes the Mishnah very complicated by taking all three issues and showing that any one of those issues could occur in conjunction with any one of the other issues, which means that we have three squared, really, issues over here. And therefore, therefore what we have to do is talk about nine different cases, because each one of them can combine in any way with the other ones. What that does in terms of Chidud HaTalmidim, it simply talks out for you the interrelationship that the Torah, remember, we've been stressing this all the way along, that the dinim of Nedarim are fundamental to the dinim of relationships, which is why Bein Ol Levena is so central to the idea of a Baal being Mefer, and why the Torah lists this in terms of Bein Av Lebito uBein Ish LeIshto. It's a definition of how it is that they relate. And therefore, remember, we even had the incredible halacha that if the marriage itself is only a drabbanan, it wouldn't make any difference because you could still be made for the Nedarim D'Oraisa because of the fact that we see from the relationship element of it that Eini Shenoderet Ela Aldad Ba'ala. So therefore, we want you to take into consideration the multiple strands that can connect this woman to some level of dependency, and how it's possible to cut all of them, and therefore, even if there is one remaining or two remaining, if you don't have them all, that you do not have any way to be made for her neder. So because of that, we talk about Teisha Na'arot Nidreyem Kayamim. That's a little misleading, because one of the cases of the Teisha Na'arot is where she's not a Na'ara. So she's a Bogeret. So that's a little bit strange, but obviously it's Lavdav. Because we've been talking about Na'ara Murasa. So we talk about Teisha Na'arot. So what are the three main cases? The main cases, as we said, is that she is a Yitoma legally. That's the biggest condition. She's a legal Yitoma, even though her father is alive. Okay. That boils down to three different cases, all right? So she could be, let's take the case where she actually was a bogeret, and we're going to talk about three variations on the same fundamental theme of being yitoma b'chayei. So the first one of them is talking about where she actually had become married, but she was still a nara, and then she ends up getting a get, or she ends up becoming an amana. This is the amana and the grusha. So then that means that there is no father, because she is already a yitoma b'chaye avia. And here, in the simplest case, she made the neder when she was already a bogeret. So it really would make no difference, because even if there was a father, and even if the father was a legal father, it wouldn't make any difference at all, because she's a bogeret and therefore wouldn't be able to have afara on her neder. So in this case, she actually, even though she made the neder, she made the neder when she was a bogeret, and therefore it isn't really important that she had been married and had been given a get, and that she's no longer Rishus Avia. That's case number one. But, of course, she could have even made the neder while she was in Nara. And then she became a Bogeret, and she's now a Bogeret. And she is Yisoma B'chaye Avia because she had been married and got divorced or widowed. So in all of these cases, the bottom line is, there is no father to do the hafara. I don't give a hang when she made the neder. Yeah, well, we can even have a case where she is a nara. And this is the third little pair. She's still a nara. Yes, indeed. So she made the neder when she was a nara. She's still a nara. And nonetheless, she's a yatoma b'chayavia because she had gotten that get or that almanut from Nisuin. So we've cut everything. We've cut her husband out of the picture through his death or through a get. We've cut the father out of the picture because of the fact that there had been a marriage that was followed by a get. We've cut the father out of the picture as well because of the fact that she is a bogeret, and therefore, anyway, he doesn't have any rishus over her. Fine. Now, of course, we don't necessarily have to be discussing a case where the father was legally dead. He might actually be dead. And then things are going to be exactly the same. There, she doesn't have a father. So we have exactly the same cases. She is a bogeret, and her father had actually died. She made the neder as a nara and then became a bogeret, and her father died. Or she made the neder as a nara and she's still a nara, and her father died. Okay, so therefore, if she is a yatoma, who's going to be made for the neder for her? She's an almana and a grusha, or she isn't. It makes no difference. She doesn't have a husband. She doesn't have a father. And therefore, no one is there to deal with her neder in any way. And then we have the simple case in which she is a bogeret. And we said that a bogeret, no matter what, with a father, without a father, obviously makes no difference because the father's only given rishus over her in the event that she's not a bogeret. So therefore, let's imagine a case where she made the neder as a nara, her father died, and then she became a bogeret. Or imagine a case where her father didn't die, and she became a bogeret having made that neder and before. Or let's imagine a case of a nara who only became a bogeret after the neder, not made a neder as a bogeret, and the father is alive. Makes no difference. She became a bogeret after the neder. She was a bogeret when she made the neder. Her father is dead or alive at the time she's a bogeret. Nothing makes any difference. In all of these cases, she has no one to be made for the neder. Now, note that all of the cases discussed a na'ara. Says Reb Yehuda, this is a little bit misleading, because suppose the father had married off his daughter as a kitana, and now she got divorced as a kitana, but that would also create a status of being a yitoma b'chaye avia. She doesn't have to be a nara, and you keep talking about it as if she's a nara. Gavi's coming to my rescue. Akiva is coming to my rescue. He's after me, guys. Ari has come to my rescue. Okay. I don't know what happened to Roy, but we don't have that smile anymore. So, in any event, in all of these cases, says Rabbi Yehuda, I don't like the idea of you're talking about a nara necessarily, because suppose he had married off the daughter when she was a kitana. And we're talking about that she's was nis almana or nidgarsha from a nisuin that the father himself had made with nisuin. It wouldn't make any difference. Even if she came back to him and adayin hi nahara, it wouldn't make any difference because she doesn't have a father. And therefore, who's going to do the hafara? Now, the question is Rabbi Yehuda arguing, or is Rabbi Yehuda just arguing with the presentation? So most of the Rishonim hold that no, the din that the father is considered to be legally dead, and she's a Yatoma, in terms of the dinim of Nedarim, would make no difference whether the marriage was as a Ketana or as a Nahara, as we've discussed many, many times. Minogea, once the father's Mekabel, her get, does he have the ability to marry her off again, and so on and so forth. So then what would be the din legabe nedarim? But others learn that legabe nedarim ein achinami. If she was a nesua as a ketana, so then he is still her father vis-a-vis nedarim in the new Rea Beit Aviyah, because she was never yotzi from his rishus, because he was mekabel her get. Now, and that therefore it's a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, in whether the Mishnah is specifically a nara, and that creates a status of Yitoma B'chayei Ha'av, or even if she was a Ketana, she would also be Yitoma B'chayei Ha'av. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, all of these complexities, and speaking out all of the different ways in which the really three cases interrelate with each other, which forced us to cube the three, and the actual, no, actually, sorry, I said cubed, I meant the square. We're multiplying it by itself three times. So the Chachomim say they're really, because they boil down to the same cases, therefore, let's talk about three cases. And that's all that we need to talk about. So the Chachomim Omrim, there are three cases in which Nara Nidrehem Kayamim. Either she became a Bogeret, or she became a Yitoma B'chayei Ha'av, or she became a real Yitoma. Why do we need to go through all of the possible ways in which these things are repeated when they end up being the same case anyway? And therefore, so again, as the Yerushalmi says, why does Rabbi Yehuda do it? L'chadeid bat ha-talmidim. So as we discussed, it's only something which is there in order to force you to think. Okay, we're ready for Sir Richard again.
Again.
Konam she'eninene le'aba ula'avicha, im osa ani apicha. Whew. So she's saying that I am making a neder that I will not be nehene from my own father or from your father if I do anything for you. Oh, gosh. Or what if she said the opposite? I will not be nene from you if I do anything for my father or for your father. So now, l'chora, you would say, okay, so currently, we basically don't have a problem, do we, in this first case? I'm not going to be nene la'abala avicha. And okay, so, but no, what do you mean? Because she said, imosa ni alpicha, and she has to be osa alpicha, and therefore, obviously, this is going to affect her, because in the end, this is going to get in the way of her ability to act. So the first case is talking about, let's say we just would have had that first case. So it says he can be mefer. Well, okay, of course he can be mefer, because the bottom line is that she is already in a state in which she is going to be destroying their relationship. Because either she's going to be asura because she was over, she's going to be asura in her father, or she's going to be over in the netter in doing anything for him because she went ahead and she did do something for the father. And therefore, basically, you're at least involved in dvarim shebeino levena, because one way or the other, it's affecting their relationship. Therefore, he can be mefer immediately. Because even though the netter wasn't chal right now, because in both cases here we have a t'nai, it doesn't matter, because since she's stuck, as we've seen before, she's stuck and in an untenable situation, which is a situation that affects their relationship. So at the very least, we're going to get into trouble later. So that's considered to be the equivalent of being in trouble now. But what about in the second case? So she says over there, well, if I do anything for Abba or for your Abba, if I do anything at all, then I'm going to be Asura in the Hanav from you. So over there, you'd say, okay, so don't do anything, right? Don't do anything for my father. Don't do anything for your father. Therefore, there's not currently something that's beino levina, because I'm chuyevet to do that, and there's certainly no inui nefesh. So over there, it's a tremendous chiddush. Why am I able to be mefer? And this is also a yisod that we've seen before. A type of t'nai, which is basically impossible to keep, is considered to have already been over aleha. Because no woman is going to be able to be in a household in which she cannot respond to her father's wishes for a cup of coffee or to her father-in-law's wishes for a cup of coffee. In the end, she's certainly going to be over on the t'nai and therefore be usur to be bana her baal, and therefore it's immediately, even in this case, considered to be dvarim shebeino levina. So not only in the first case in which it's immediate that, well, you know, what should I do? I can't really give you a cup of coffee because then I won't be able to. No, that's for sure. But over here, even where the t'nai does not directly affect him, it's still considered to be, for all intents and purposes, a big problem. And because of that, he can be mefer already in advance. So these are yesodos that we've really spoken about before. Now, what we're saying is, one thing is clear. You're going to be able, as a baal, to be mefer a neder before that neder actually is chal. Because we are concerned that it will be chal. And it says you can be mefer. So this means that the hafara of a neder does not require that neder to be extant at the time that you were a mefer. So now, let's take a look at the braita, where it seems pretty clear that not everybody agrees with that yesod, that it's possible to be mefer a neder before it even exists. We talked clearly before about being Mekayim a neder before it exists. Well, how can you be Mekayim the neder before it exists? Can you be made for the neder? Because we looked at the possibility of Hafara being a removal of her right to make the neder. Then it would prevent the neder from being chal, possibly. So let's take a look at the case in the Braita. She'eni ne'enet la'aba ula'avicha im ani osa lapicha. So this is the simple case that we had here. If I do anything for you, so then I'm going to be asura bahana'a from my father or for your father, Rabbi Natan Omer, lo yafer. It didn't take effect yet. So how can you be made for the neder, even though we understand that currently it puts you into a bind? So fine, so do it and be in the bind and let him be made for. Of course you can be made for if it actually took place, because then it's going to be a problem of a relationship that he has with her. But he can't be made for it before it even happens. With a chachomim omrim, yafer, since it has all of the dinim that effectively lock her into a position of destroying a relationship between her and her husband, therefore it can be made for it before it's even chal. How about the case of netula animin ayudim im mishamashtecha? So she says, so if I sleep with you, then I will be asura on everyone, even including you. So Rabbi Nelson says, well, the neder wasn't chal yet. The chachamim omrim, he can make it not chal by being made for it right now. So now the question is, this is all benogia hafara, but what about the din of hatorah? How about that? Now, we know that you can make a t'nai that your own nedarim are not really meant by you, which makes them the equivalent of a nidrei ta'ut. But how about where you need the hatara of a talmud chacham in order to avoid the neder going into effect? Is it possible to get a hatara before it goes into effect? So the case over here was, ahu gavra, the itasar hanayata de alma alei, Inasiv itatakilota nina hilchata. Whew. So this guy, he was afraid that he was going to get caught up in some relationship before he had a chance to finish shas, you know, He wanted to make sure that he was a Talmud Chacham by the time he got married. And so he says, listen, if I fall in love and get married before I finish Shas, then I should be Osir in all Hana of the world, right? Okay, so anyway, he goes and he comes to Yeshiva, Raid, Begapha, Vituvlaya. So he takes his backpack, and it doesn't really mean his backpack, it means like some kind of wallet. He takes a stick that he's walking with, and like he gets all out. Basically, he had agreed he's going to walk the Alps, let's say. He gets all outfitted, you know, he's spent $3,000 on Amazon, being really ready for the Alps. He takes his first walk, and by the time he's climbed 3 meters, he says, oh my God, I can't do this. That's the end of his great pursuit of the Alps. So in this case, he does the same thing, gets fully outfitted, comes in with his shas, comes in with his art scroll, whatever he's got, walks into the Beis HaMedrash. After 3 days, he says, oh my God, this is not for me. I don't understand any of this. And lo imtzi lo misna. He simply didn't have the brains for it at all. So what happens? So asa ravacha baravuna. So because of that, he never got married. So Rav Acha Bar Huna wanted to trick him into getting married. Right? So the only way to do that was that the neder shouldn't take effect. But he basically tricked him into believing, I didn't want to get into that kind of situation. So he told him, no, don't worry about it. If you get married in a case where you just discovered you can't learn, then the neder won't actually go into effect. So he goes in and gets married. And of course, the neder immediately did go into effect. So what happened? So at that point, insiv itata, and he actually became asur ba'ana. So then Rav Acha Bar Rav Huna went ahead and sharke tina. He basically took a pile of filth, threw it over the guy, and said, uh-oh, what are you going to do now? You can't go to the laundromat because you're going to be nene from somebody. You better come to Rav Chisda and see if we can get your neder mutter. So in other words, he held there would be no way to be martyred as neder unless it was already chal. So he drags him to Rav Chisda. Now, Rava said, ah, brilliant. You know, mian chachim lemevek el milsa. You know, you got to really have a lot of guts to do this. And the one that was able to take care of it was Rav Acha Bar Rav Huna, because he held that the same machlokas that we found over here with the Rabbonan and Rabbi Nosson, Behafara, is also true about Sheila Nechocham. Because of that, I need to trick him into seeing to it that the neder was chal before I would be able to take care of it. Whereas Rav Papi Amar, no, that's a big mistake. The machlokas between Rabbi Nosson and the Chachomim is only a machlokas b'hafara, because Rabbi Nosson sovar ein haba'al mefer elohim chal haneder, because we find the lashon of v'chafra halivana. So we're relating, it's a very strange drasha. We're relating to hafra, to chafra, and levana being a binyan. And we said that a boma, bone boma, is a neder, right? So kol anoder kilu bona bona boma. So you can be chafra haboma halivana. You can be meferet if, in this case, only after it was already a boma. Okay, I mean, that's obviously a very far-fetched esmachta, and it's not that he's really learning it from it, but he mamish made it a very cute way of remembering his halacha, but the point is that it's clear that it revolves around the idea of chafra and hafra. He never intended it to have anything to do with the dinim of the heter of a chacham. And the rabbanan hold, ba'al mefer alfa pishaloch al haneder. Dichtiv, also a very sweet kind of remez. Mefer machshavot arumim. So these very Nachash HaYaron, these very snaky, sneaky people, meaning that they have a lot of chokmah. So then it says that you can be made fair the machshavot of the Erumim, but Erumim is just how you think about something. It's not how you actually do something. So it means you've got a lot of complicated thinking and manipulation and planning, but that's all in your brain. And it says over there that there is a hafara on machshavot Erumim. Such beautiful remazim. Masha Inkim, when it comes to She'ela, there's nothing to be matir. So Divrei Hakol, Ein Chacham Matir Klum, Ela Imken Chal HaNeder, because it says, Lo Yachel Devaro. So Yachel is mamish built on the word of Chal, right? Is that a coincidence? That you can take that which was Chal and be Mechalel, what was Chal, but if it was never Chal, so then the whole drasha would not apply. So then if we're saying that you are not hu ein omer fer aval acherim mefer, but then it would mean that he can only be mefer a neder, which in fact was chal. And therefore we didn't need all of this to say, oh, what a great man, and he thinks that the machlokes applies. That's not the point. Nobody would have held that it's possible to be mechal a neder through a chacham before the neder was even chal. So there was no choice but to get this guy to go and marry, to fool him into marriage, and that was the only way that you could actually deal with his life, because otherwise the guy basically has given up on life. Well, I can't get married because I couldn't finish Shas, and therefore it's overs. Okay, it wasn't overs. Anyway, tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, we'll see the rest of the very sweet story of Machlokas.